eating some chips? Right, this is that's a good intro there. This is Broken Embargo for, when does this go out? Tuesday, Thursday?
Tuesday.
Go out Tuesday.
We'll go with the week of the first. First?
Yeah, well, the week of the first, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. It's February. It'll be February when this goes out, maybe.
Yep.
Movie magic will happen. So, with us today, we got myself, Eric Kotval, of no particular site in general, Dan McKenney, and Caleb Crawford, and we have special guest, Alexander Jones.
I think he's swallowing his chips.
No, it was a digestive biscuit, because I realized I'm not going to be... I was going to cook dinner before coming on, but then we started, so I just thought, quickly, grab a biscuit, shove it in my
mouth.
See,
that's why they're assholes, because that's what they do. They'll like, be in the middle of the argument, and I'll be like, well, what do you guys want to do? And all of a sudden, Eric will just say, fuck it, and hit call everyone.
And then he'll hit it again, and hit it again.
We were recording. I asked the question, and I saw, yeah, early show, fine.
With
I was ready for it.
That's what happens when you get dropped from the call.
You're going to mess up the call burner.
What? I'm not going to mess up the call burner. We just won't be able to hear him yelling in the background. And I'll call him again. He's done with his timeout.
Oh, damn. This is... I can already tell what kind of show this is going to be. This is going to be like the last time I was on.
Yes.
Limbo's not the goddamn game of the year.
That was a good show. Anyway, right. You know, we're here to talk about some video games. We have Alex Jones of, what is it, Start Select something or another?
Start Select Talk, yes.
That's
new
it.
Video games podcast, which you should all listen to, which I find is best listened to in conjunction with Broken Embargo,
of course. Yeah.
Back to back, not course. At the same time. That would be stupid.
We could like
synchronize,
do some synchronous editing, and it could work, but that would take much more effort than we're all willing to put in.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute, what do you do?
Me? I show up.
Exactly.
Which is more than we can say for you.
Ooh.
Shut up, Caleb. You thought Saturday was stupid.
Saturday is stupid.
Well, okay,
anyway.
So never mind. We gotta talk about, we got dick wolves to talk about.
Anybody that follows us on Twitter already knows our podcast problems, because we just lay it out there
for everyone to see.
Yeah.
Unless it's in the wave.
Yeah. Well,
so what are we talking about today? We got the NGP, we got What's Been Planned with Dead Space, we got the Dick Wolves thing from Penny Arcade.
Blah, I don't even want to
talk about that.
I don't even want to justify that with an address.
I kind of want to. I kind of do.
Why? They took down the shirt.
Well, yeah, but the reason why, and just the whole response that's been going on, I don't know. I thought it was interesting because it involves the gaming community and involves PAX, which is something that we all cherish. And I just thought you might be interested in talking about it.
Well, that's cool.
Oh, whatever. You know what?
We'll chat about it.
So you don't have these problems on Start Select Talk. What we do is we all
shut
defer
the fuck
to me.
Up.
I'm the grand dictator of our discussion. I tell people what to think, and then they think it, and it's glorious. I should be in charge of the world.
Plus, Start Select Talk also has a one-up on us for having
two-up.
An actual girl gamer rather than us, where we just have Dan.
Why
is that a one-up, though? Why is that a one-up?
Because girl gamers are rare and not on the internet.
We have diversity in the group. We've got Ron, the black one, Molly, the girl, and me, the British one. The demographics are perfectly spread out.
So why is that a one-up, though, to have a girl? I don't...
Fuck you.
Are we getting like a tax return on this or something? I mean, what?
You just ruined like the whole. Never mind. You're an idiot.
No, I'm one. I'm.
Take a time.
What's
off.
Happening? Are we going to talk? It
has to be at least twice an episode.
I hate you. I really do. This is why we can't get anything done.
What? We get lots done. Everybody loves
don't.
Our show. We're number one on iTunes in broken embargo named podcasts.
Moving right along.
Anyway, let's see what Murgatroyd had.
I'm going to go make a podcast with Benway, and it's going to be great.
Okay.
Wow.
So.
Anyway, we're going to see what Murgatroyd had to say about last week.
Also, Alex is eating digestive biscuits right now, and they sound disgusting, but they're absolutely delicious.
Speaking of disgusting,
how do you know?
Sound disgusting. All you can hear is me munching.
No, it's the, just really the name, kind of... like a digestive biscuit. It sounds like, you know, Pepto Bismol in a cookie. That's what it sounds like, but it's really great. It tastes delicious. It's chocolatey and.
How do you know this?
I've had them. They're quite good.
Okay. But if if some of them come covered in chocolate, but
yeah. But I mean, even the plain ones are great.
Since we've already taken a tangent away from the show, how was the game dinner?
I haven't gone to it yet.
That isn't yet. No,
when
it's
is
for
that?
A few weeks. It's end of February.
Oh, are you pumped? You're gonna have a bit of everything.
A bit of everything.
I'm not gonna have the Rocky Mountain oysters.
Come
if that's
on.
I'm not. No. I'm interested in the ostrich tacos, but for the most part, I'm just sort of gonna take pictures and observe. And
now,
just
Alex, do you know what Rocky Mountain oysters are?
I'm assuming they're oysters from Rocky Mountain. You know, oysters on the mountain, as you do.
I guess they could
that's
be.
Where they come
right.
from.
No, that's not what they are. They are, in fact, bull testicles.
Oh, right. Okay.
Makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
So if you're ever at a fancy restaurant...
Right, so they've hidden the... They've taken testicles and they have hidden them under this kind of veneer of, oh no, they're oysters. You'll love them, they're oysters, and then you eat them, and then the waiter comes by and whispers in your ear, they're actually testicles. And then the rest of the staff come along, and they laugh at you.
Pretty much.
For 50
it's not
minutes.
Like, it's not like, you know, like a hard-boiled egg, where, like, you peel that back, and then you, like, bite into that. It's not like that, because I've looked at pictures of this. It was actually Rocket Mountain Oysters Parmesan. It's more like ground.
I mean, it's not like it's Fear Factor, and you got, like, a whole, you know, 5-pound thing just sitting in front of you. But I'm going to let you should try it.
I'm not going to try it.
Flashing lights and a $1,000 prize.
Try it. See how it is. Maybe.
You have to report back.
Oh no!
If it looked good, and I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. Like that. What's the show? Bizarre Foods. I try a lot of that stuff.
There's a lot of it I wouldn't try though.
Maybe, but anyway, we're here to talk about video games.
Yeah, not bull nuts.
Not bull nuts.
Digestive biscuits are delicious though.
Right. So last week, our field reporter Murgatroyd decided to. Throw a couple of comments. Are we still a week behind with him? Or
no, he's
no,
been,
no.
We got caught up.
Yep.
Yeah, he's all good.
On what he had to say. All right. Oh, he talks about the GeoHot hack because he was one that did it.
Yeah.
I haven't actually done a whole lot with the GeoHot hack, but I put a bunch of emulators and some homebrew games on my PS3. It's still new, so it doesn't do much yet, but it's good to have. Sony decided to release a new update that bricks your PS3 if the hack is installed. But all you have to do is uninstall the hack or bypass the update through your DNS.
Hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't use it for emulators just because I've got my TV hooked up to my computer. So it's like, I'll just use my emulators on there. That's what I do.
True. Plus you have them on your PSP, don't you?
Yeah, I can put them on my PSP.
I like them better on the PSP, I would think. Well,
anything SNES and like NES, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
PS1 stuff is kind of...
Yeah, I guess that's true. I didn't really... I mean, I guess I had those games. The only reason I had the emulators was for, like, you know, Nintendo games and Super Nintendo games that I didn't have anymore.
Yeah.
But even that's going away more and more with Virtual Console.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't had a need for it.
I mean, I really want to, like, take an old console or old something and put the emulators on there, put the SNES emulators on there, and just, like, have that there hooked up to my TV, you know? Because I don't have my SNES anymore. I wish I did.
Well, they have those Super Nintendo combo things.
Yeah, you can get those most anywhere now.
Since the copyright.
Obvious shots. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to take an old console and turn it into a laptop.
Okay, Ben Heck.
Seriously, like that's like the coolest thing in the world. Did you see his latest one that he did with the new Xbox?
No.
It's tight.
Well, I'm going to take a Dreamcast and turn it into a car, so, you know.
So suck it.
So, nice. Yes.
Beat that. The eShop is making me want a 3DS even more than I already do, but I can't get over that price. I realize this has all kinds of great features, but I've had a hard time paying that much for a damn PS3. I feel like I have to mug old ladies on the street just to get my handheld gaming fix.
I don't know. $250 to me, I mean, in my current situation, sounds reasonable until the NGP. Now I'm like, well, what do I...
Yeah.
Well, $250 to me sounds like, okay, but put out some good games first, you know? Like,
yeah, no, I definitely don't think it's going to be a day one for me with what's on launch, but...
No.
It's not the price that I'm uncomfortable about. It's... you know, how is it going to do? How is it going to be supported over the next few months that I'm worried about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I usually, like, I've waited. I don't have a move or a Kinect yet.
And oh, man.
Even getting the consoles, I've waited a while before getting them.
That's actually something I noticed this week is that, you know, I didn't talk about it on the show that much, but I did get a Kinect over the holidays. And, you know, I've been playing that. And I haven't played it or, you know, touched it myself alone on my own free time, like, over the last few weeks. I mean, there have been times where it's pulled out, like, you know, the parents are saying, oh, Dan, can you go get, like, the dance game on the Wii? You know, cause, something like that. And, like, and people do try it out. Like, even people that I didn't think would try out, you know, Dance Central, they try it out. They love it. They love watching it. It's a great party experience. But I don't think... there's nothing there. There's nothing in the forecast. There's nothing coming out in the next few months that I know is Kinect-enabled, you know? And I think that's the same problem the Wii had at launch. We're like, oh, let's have a Wii party. And then next week, oh, let's have a Wii party. And then...
Well, the thing about Move, like, I got the Dead Space 2. And Gamefly actually sent me the limited edition.
Okay.
And it has Extraction on it. So I'm looking forward to trying that out because I've heard some really good things about that being ported over. So
I think Murgatroyd's problem is that mugging old ladies for money should be enjoyable. It should be a hobby. It shouldn't be a
chore. Once it feels like work, it just loses all the fun.
Yeah.
Aside from the bull testicles, that game dinner sounds awesome. It is my life goal to eat as many different animals as possible. And it should be people's goals in life to eat everything. It's a good goal.
Unless you're PETA.
Well, yeah, but who cares about PETA? Anyway.
I didn't care much about Project Nevada at first, but the visors, sprinting, and tackling are great additions that I would love to have in the main game. It's too bad I can only play the console version because my PC can't handle Fallout.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah, I need to get New Vegas for that.
Yeah.
And then he said... Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know.
He also said he was excited about Ricky Gervais on The Office. He's annoying as hell, but I always loved how awkward he was on the original show.
I haven't watched that episode yet.
He came out, it was just a cameo. It was just like the opening skit of the show.
Really?
Yeah. It was really, really funny though. It was great to watch.
Was he playing Ricky Gervais or was he playing...
He was playing his original character, David Brent.
Nice.
Yeah, he came out of the elevator and like, he made... It was an interaction between him and Steve Carell, Michael Scott. And, you know, they were just, like, related to each other, and they were giving each other hugs and, like, introducing themselves. And then he goes, so, where do you work? Oh, Dunder Mifflin. Oh, is there any job opportunities there? Nope. Oh, that's...
And have you guys played Breach yet? I was really looking forward to it, but it's a letdown.
Dude, it was a letdown at PAX. Like, I don't know why people were raving about it at PAX. That game was,
Dan was raving all about
it. Yeah, Dan was raving about it, but I...
That was, wasn't that your game of PAX was Breach?
Yeah, he was...
My
he
other was, game of PAX was Split Second, so...
Split Second was actually, like, had something new to it.
Well, Breach, though... Just from the time that I had it at PAX, like, I had a lot of fun playing it. It felt great at PAX. It really did. I'm not just trying to, like, wax nostalgia about it or, like, you know, in the moment it was great. It was like, I thought I had a really great time with it. And, you know, the destruction at the time, yeah, it wasn't the greatest thing in the world. I hope they would improve it, since then, but it looks like they haven't. It's just... It had a lot of great promise to it, and for being an Xbox Live Arcade game at the time, it was really impressive.
I think it's, I think we succumbed to, like, PAX fever. Because I had also said that Hydrophobia looked really good.
Yeah, and Crackdown was actually really fun to play, too.
Yeah, Crackdown, we played the multiplayer, and that was awesome. And I think it was, like, just, you know, it was PAX, it was awesome, like, everybody was having a great time.
It wasn't just that, though, because Hydrophobia had a lot of attention. Coming out of PAX.
A lot
of games did. I don't think it was the PAX, like, being at PAX that did it. I think it was people just took it in the wrong direction. Or they showed off the great promise. They showed off the great part about their game, but everything else was shit.
I think, PAX is one of those events that makes Daikatana look good, so...
Because I even broke the Hydrophobia demo when I was at PAX. Mm-hmm. Because they have a point in the game where you're supposed to run... And get to this door, and the door is supposed to close by the time you get to it. Well, I got to the door, and I got through it, and then, like, the room kept filling up with water, and I died. And the guy's like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen. But, yeah, we know how that turned out.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah, I'm disappointed about Breach, because I thought I had a really great promise to it. I thought it looked great, but I don't know.
See, PAX is like a nightclub. You think you're having, you know, in a nightclub, people think they're having a great time, but what they're actually doing is they're just taking loads of ecstasy and alcohol, and they're fooling themselves into they're having a great time.
That's true.
And it's the same at PAX. People think they're having a great time, but actually it's, you know, all the, like, soda and video games doing the talking.
It's camaraderie, too.
You haven't been there, okay?
You don't know.
You don't know, man.
I once saw a Twitter update from someone who was, and that's exactly the same as being there.
That's okay. It's okay. He's British. He doesn't get it.
And then this one last thing from Murgatroyd is, don't forget to check out that Abin Hawkins game. Hate to call anything hardcore, but it totally is. I promise you will appreciate this game. I did not check it out this week because for some reason I just got this feeling of, like, I'm kind of Super Meat Boyed out, you know? And I looked at it, I was just like, it's a lot of spikes, it looks like a platformer. I mean, I was just sort of like,
I can't take that pain anymore.
Well, no, it's this game.
It's not like it takes pain. It's just that, you know, I don't know, I didn't feel it. I'll check it out this week. I promise I will, because it's a dollar, so, you know.
Anything for a dollar, that's Dan's motto.
He'll do anything for a dollar?
I don't know.
Well, let me tell you what wasn't a dollar. Dead Space on the iPod was not a dollar. It was actually $6.99.
Was it?
Yep. Yes.
'Cause it was
totally worth it.
$10 on the iPad.
Oh, really?
Well, you're also getting, like, HD funness.
Yeah.
True.
And a character you can actually see behind your fingers.
Kind of.
So,
I feel like you're giving them a back massage.
I feel like I can't really talk about this game, and
I
the
can't
reason...
Either, I only played it for, like, 5 minutes.
The reason being that I can't talk about it is that I'm terrified to play any more of it.
Really?
And maybe that's just because
you're
Alex,
a girl?
No, Alex can back me up on this. Like, when you want to, you know, experience games, you want to experience all genres of games, right? Like, you want to, you just want to get, like, a say, like, when somebody's talking about something, like a new game, you at least want to check out the genre, or at least what it, what makes it cool, right? No?
Was...
Okay.
Right, right, Dan? Yeah. Right, Alex? Yeah. Right? Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. Whatever the hell Dan's mumbling about.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is, like, I don't know, I kind of want to have a basic understanding of, like, all genres and, like, you know, sort of diversify my gaming experiences. And, like, there, I get there are genres I don't like. I don't play horror games, you know? But at the same time, yeah. I want to appreciate what makes a horror game good, and every once in a while, I do want to check one out. And so I thought I'd check out Dead Space. Mm-hmm. And I need to play it in a certain setting in order to be able to actually play it, because I am scared. I really am. Like, I'm only in, like, the real, like, first gameplay experience, like, past the tutorial, and, like, bodies flying out a body flies out of the darkness and hits the wall next to me, and I'm just like, you know what? I'll hit the home button, go listen to some music.
Bright lights and your mommy close by and teddy bears and
yes, that's how I play through like scary games on the Xbox. It's like I'll have the lights on. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll have a podcast going in the background. You know.
Did you ever play the first one?
No, I did not.
Oh wow.
That's
got to be a disconnect.
And I think part of the thing that bumps up like sort of like the, I guess horror to it is that you're listening with headphones. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. When like that's the reason I couldn't play through Silent Hill Origins on the PSP, because that's the only game I've ever gotten that way with was Silent Hill Origins, because it was just so oppressive, the music in that game and the sounds and stuff. I could not play it by myself. Yeah. So yeah, I can imagine the Dead Space with the headphones is even worse. And I mean I haven't got past the tutorial yet, so.
So from what I've played so far, it does control great for for a shooter on the iPod. It does. Like, I don't know how they did it, but they did.
Yeah, it's kind of got like what's the other one? Chaos Rings theory of movement, where just the left side is your movement, the right side is your aiming. So it feels really smooth from what I've experienced.
I think it would feel smoother on the iPhone than it does on the iPad.
Really?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's weird because, like, the iPad is so much bigger, and it looks really nice and all that. But what the hell is going on in the background? Someone making origami figures or what?
It's more biscuits.
And then it gets quiet.
What?
I was wondering what was going on.
Oh, I don't know. Keep going.
Like, well, I thought you were talking about Dead Space. It was like... Oh, origami in Dead Space? That makes a load of sense.
No, I was wondering the noise you were making. You were doing something, rubbing some sticks together.
Yeah, I just, you know, picked up two sticks I have lying around the room and then just rub them together.
What, you don't have sticks in your room?
No, I do.
I thought that was like every British person has sticks in their room.
Yeah, we all have sticks in our rooms. That's our modus operandi. That's what we do. Good job, Eric. You have cracked Da Vinci Code. Give yourself a medal.
I knew it.
What were you talking about now?
I think I was talking about Dead Space on the iPad. And it I don't know. It's just because your thumb's kind of got to reach out a little more.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a little more awkward, but I think I'm getting used to it. I'll play a little more of it. But I'm not getting, like... I mean, you get, like, the initial jump when stuff comes out at you, I guess, when you've played more horror games. But I haven't really gotten, like, frightened yet.
You know, I mean, that's the way Dead Space is. It's more of an action horror. In even the Dead Space 2, I don't get scared by that kind of game. I mean, after Amnesia and all the Silent Hills, I'm kind of numb to horror anymore. Yeah. It has to be really psychologically disturbing to get to me.
Yeah, see, that's I haven't played Silent Hill because I don't like horror. I can't watch horror movies.
See, that's why Dead Space 2 is scaring you. Dead Space 2 isn't scary. The only reason Dead Space is a survival horror is because they don't give you ammo as often as a first-person shooter. That is the only reason it's not just Gears of War. Because it's not a survival horror game. As much as it wants to be that genre, I mean, maybe it is now. It's an action horror game. And those aren't scary to me at all.
Yeah,
but they're fun. I love Dead Space, but
Yeah, and I mean, that's really what it is.
BioShock tried to go into, like, sort of, like, I wouldn't say horror, but I would say thriller.
Yeah, no, Dead Space, I mean, BioShock kind of had that feel to it, but...
Yeah, I was okay with BioShock, too, you know, I was okay, like, I knew if I went down a certain path, if I stayed on the main road, then, like, there would only be a few, like, sort of jumpy moments, but, like, if I did go exploring, if I did look for plasmids and audio boxes and things like that, then, yeah, like, smoke would descend, and all of a sudden it'd be, like, a wave of enemies coming at you, or, like, shadows moving in the darkness, you know?
Mm.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, you've probably played more than we have, Eric.
No, not really. I downloaded it today because I'm like, oh, yeah, I wanted to try it out. So, I played about 5 minutes of it. But it does. It just, like, I got to get used to playing it. I mean, really, mm-hmm. I mean, the iPad is cool for games and stuff, but it can be really awkward sometimes with just how it controls.
Right.
So... But, anyway.
And something else I was playing was Minecraft this week.
Of course you were.
Well, but it was a. But we decided to put some mods on this other server I'm playing on. Mm-hmm. And
I tried to look for that one mod you were talking about, but couldn't find it.
Yeah, so we have a mod going that adds Herobrine to the game. And if you don't know what Herobrine is, it's essentially this old myth, this old, like, hoax that a guy was playing the game, and all of a sudden this other character appeared that was like, you know, Steve or Mr. Minecraft, but had white glowing eyes and didn't have a name over his head, you know, and just, like, ran off.
Wait, there's already Minecraft myths and...
This one's really freaky, too.
This one's a crazy... Because then it turned into, like the hoax was... You know, he then posted on the forums about it, and, like, it got deleted, and he got a message from a guy called Herobrine saying, stop, you know, and just, like, and so it turned out to be just fake. But somebody made a mod for it, and so we installed it, and what happens is whoever's playing, Herobrine will randomly pick a character and haunt them. And you don't realize, you don't get a notification that he's going to, like, but all of a sudden, like, I built a great fairy fountain from Zelda. In one of the worlds. And so there's a long tunnel. And I went down the hole, and I was about to go down the long tunnel, and I noticed a guy, like Herobrine, at the end, run off into the distance. And I was just like, disconnect, not doing this.
What is the name of that mod I wanted?
I don't know. I'll look it up for you.
Because I found one that's like a people's mod, but it's a single-player mod that adds a bunch of like pirates and ninjas and all this stuff. And he's in that, but it didn't sound like, I mean, it wasn't for a multiplayer server, so.
And, like, I was building a lighthouse in this game, and I was building a different version of it, and I was up on, like, a ledge, and I was working on it, and then I turned around, and he was right behind me, and he shoved me off the ledge, and I fell and died.
I need this mod. Oh, my word.
And the other guys were like, I haven't seen him yet. And then apparently, like, when I wasn't playing, they saw him. And so we all stopped playing for the night. We came back the next day. The ghost doesn't only haunt you. He'll mess with your stuff. And so we came back, and, like, inside the Great Fairy Fountain and inside my lighthouse and, like, everything we had built, there were just signs everywhere, like, be gone, a curse upon you, vengeance is upon us, get out, like, everywhere.
Wow.
And, like, some holes were dug up, and we were all just like, you know what? This is too much. We can't take this. We turned off the mod.
No, it's going. It's going in my world. There's no question about that.
It was terrifying. Because, I mean, he'll just, like, and it's enough so that way, like, your render distance, like, where there's, like, fog, it's enough so that way he's, like, sort of in the fog, and then he'll just run off into a distance. And, like, you want to follow him, but you don't want to, because then he'll come after you.
That's awesome.
It's really, really cool mod. I'll look it up.
So what happens when he haunts you now?
Listen to the podcast, you'll
Listen
hear.
Listen to the podcast.
He plants signs and stuff.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. Well, no, he pushes you off ledges and crap.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, cool. No, he's going in our server.
Yeah. I'm going to do that.
So that's what I'm playing. Oh, and I picked up Heart Gold and Soul Silver again, just for because.
Well, you got your shinies, right?
Well, I've got two of them, but I'm only using one of them. I'm only using Entei. And I haven't really beaten Heart Gold and Soul Silver yet. Like, I haven't beaten
either.
So I'm actually playing the game, and I'm really liking it.
Yeah. I need to do that.
Because my girlfriend is going through blue, and so I'm helping her through that.
I love that. My Caterpie evolved.
I just got a text from her at like 11 at night. My Caterpie just evolved. Fuck yeah.
Nice.
That
would have been just, is she training a Magikarp?
Well, that's how I knew she was a keeper. No, she's not training a Magikarp.
That's what I always do. I always train a Magikarp.
Did you guys, the manly guys doing manly things webcomic?
I can never read that one. I don't know why. Just
no, I do not.
That one of the things is like there's like this kid who's like a Pokemon trainer, and he picks a Magikarp to train because he doesn't really want to be a trainer, and he just sits there and he like bludgeons other Pokemon to death with his Magikarp.
It's the only thing Magikarp's good for.
Yeah, until it's like just brain damaged, and then finally it evolves into this Gyarados that just looks just messed up.
But Magikarp also is a dick in the first games, because he'll, like, you train him and like you get him up there, and then at level 14 he learns Tackle. Uh-huh. And it's like the first attack move that he does. It's just like, yeah, but his attack is so low, it doesn't do anything.
Every time I get it, I'm like, ooh, maybe it's good. No, I'm just going to keep leveling him like I normally do.
Yeah. And then you can't even, like, drop him in the daycare.
Like, no?
You drop him in the daycare, but then, like, you come back and he's, like, still a Magikarp. There's only, like, two levels.
Yeah. Like, in the Lake of Rage with the red Gyarados... Like, I went to go fight the red Gyarados, and then, like, I was coming back. There are, like, 5 billion Magikarp in there. You just keep running into them. They're the most annoying things in the world.
Yeah. Where is this thing? I'm going to find it now. Anyway.
Well, what have you been playing, Alex?
I've just been playing Dragon Age. Really.
I need to pick that up.
I've been going through the DLC. Mostly. So I've been playing through the DLC that you can get before you finish the main quest. So none of the Liliana's Song or Awakening stuff. But
bought the Ultimate Collection then, I'm assuming?
Yeah, Ultimate Edition. And yeah, I've played through Soldier's Peak, Shale's DLC, and what was the other one? I can't remember. But Soldier's Peak was
The one where you
rubbish.
Go back to the castle and you get the armor.
No, Soldier's Peak is the tower one, right?
Yeah, Soldier's Peak is you go into a tower to restore this guy's family honor, and then it turns out his family has no honor. He's like, oh. It's so stupid. It lasts an hour and you gain nothing from it.
You get the tower, don't you?
Yeah, you get. Yeah,
I
you
mean,
get.
You
a tower.
Can't really do with it, but you have it.
I can live without the tower, to be honest. But yeah, Return to Ostagarn is the other.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. I was about to call it Return to Helm's Deep, and I was like, well,
it's kind of the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hylocks at Uruk-hai.
Some of those DLC packs are a little like I remember the Shales one was like it almost seemed like just unbalanced because I remember going in there and there was like 50 guys in there you had to take out.
And Shales DLC was really easy for me.
Yes.
It was no challenge whatsoever, and then I got to the bit where you have to solve the puzzle to free the girl from the demon's influence.
Right.
And then at the end I was like, fuck it, I don't care. I'm not emotionally invested in any of these characters. Kill them all. And then I just went out and the guy was like, where's my daughter? She's dead. And then I ran away and got Shale.
Whoa! Well, I don't think there's any good ending for that, though.
What do you mean?
Well, because there's... If you solve it, like, there's either two options for that girl. Like, you can either solve it, but then, like, the demon cat will possess the girl.
Oh, yeah, I remember doing that one.
Or you can, like, not help, and then everyone dies.
No, I got the cat to possess the girl and then let her go. But I guess I'm awesome like that.
Well, anyway, it's somebody spoiled Shale's DLC for Alex.
What?
Somebody spoiled a plot point of Shale on Twitter for Alex. That Shale is in fact a girl.
Spoilers. Yeah, that's... I don't know that either. I need to pick Dragon Age back up again.
I guess it makes sense. He's got like that voice of, you know, an 80-year-old woman that's been smoking 20 packs a day for
Maz Roadhouse.
Years, yeah. love that.
Well, you're enjoying Dragon Age, I assume?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's not great, to be honest, but I am enjoying playing through it, so I can't really complain. Even though I will all the time, because that's just what I do.
What don't you like about it?
Well, the story's stupid.
Yeah.
No.
Some of the quests are pointless and rubbish and awful.
No.
And the human noble origin is the single most retarded piece of writing ever seen in a video
game. I know,
game.
Right? I played Human Noble too, and that was so...
I haven't done Human Noble, I just done Mage.
Human Noble is bad. Like, beyond your worst fears, bad.
Oh, man.
It's awful. It's if Uwe Boll actually made a video game.
The only, the
one
only
of these days
is
gonna.
Right no, he's gonna. Still not bad though.
I need to get through it just because of Dragon Age 2. Because that looks good.
Don't need to.
I feel an obligation to rather.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
So, I guess it's my turn.
Yes.
Well, good. Because I've been playing Magicka. Which
is
came out on Steam.
Is the demo multiplayer?
No. I played the demo, and then I'm like, you know what? I like this game too much, and so I went ahead and bought it, even though Caleb said that it was broken, and it is.
It might have gotten fixed.
Like, a lot of people have been saying that it's broken, and I look on the forums, and people are saying different things. But I haven't had like too many problems. I haven't had anything that crashes the game, certainly, but so it's the game. I think the best way I can describe it is like Doodle God meets Torchlight. Because the whole point is that it's this Diablo like dungeon crawler. And you're supposed to combine different magic elements. You have 8 elements at your command, and you can combine them in different ways to make different spells and different attacks. And that's really what it is the whole fun of the game, part of the fun of the game is finding these different combinations, and you come across these spell books that... you can combine different elements to make a spell. Like, to make haste, you combine a lightning element and an arcane element and a fire element. And then, you can run faster for a little bit. And so, it's really kind of different in that sense. Instead of, like, Diablo or Torchlight, where you just, find different spells or learn different spells as you level, you have pretty much everything right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can do any spell you want as long as you find it, I think. And it's kind of fun that way. Like, it seems a bit unbalanced in a lot of parts because you can just, queue up a powerful spell and then take down, like, a boss in about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But, it's still got that, that fun in there that's really cool. And the dialogue is just, it doesn't take itself seriously at all. I think they're I think it's like Swedish dialogue and and then the American text, or not American, but English text, and
American text. What is wrong with
you? Sorry, I am American. And it's just fun. It's got that, you know, it's got a sense of humor to it, and then it's also got the co-op, which I have yet to try. It's a server-based co-op, so you create a game and jump into games, and you can bounce spells off of each other to make them more powerful. You can, everybody can create their own spells at a different time, and it just adds another layer of complexity to the game, and I'm really digging it so far.
I'll have to check out the demo. Because it looked like a really interesting concept. Like, I love that concept of being able to combine the spells and stuff like that.
Yeah. It is a lot of fun, I think. So, the demo's on Steam. I'm not sure how far it goes, but, you know, it's a pretty good demo. Lengthy demo, anyways. And then the game's only $10, so lots of fun.
No, it is only 10. I thought it was 20. That's cool.
Well, it's 10 right now. I mean, I don't know if it's like a sale thing or whatever, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's... Sweet. Other than Dead Space, I haven't really been... I haven't played much.
The release list has gotten slow.
Yeah, but there's still plenty to...
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the indie stuff that, you know, you can always play... There's so much going on.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've been playing anything new other than Dead Space. Mm-hmm. Which is Dead Space 1.5 for all intents and purposes. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing revolutionary about it, but it's more of the same, which isn't a bad thing because I loved Dead Space 1.
I have a friend that wants me to play Halo Wars with him.
Why? The servers aren't even up?
He says there's still a good community around it.
Yeah, a lot of people complained, and so Microsoft decided not to.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, and I have to admit that Halo Wars is probably one of the best RTSs on a console. Like, I think it controls the best, for sure. So,
yeah,
I think it was because it was developed for a console from the get-go.
Yeah, that's really it, too. Because you see things like Command & Conquer and all that, and they just, you know, they control all right, but, you know, you really have to get used to them, whereas Halo Wars, you can kind of just pick it up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, always a good time. Let's take a break.
Mom.
Oh. Okay. I'll assume that's a agreeing arm.
I found egg rolls in the fridge.
Good for you.
Break.
It was a great break.
Was it?
Okay,
Dan,
no.
I don't got a problem with you eating on the show, but you don't got to sound like you're gasping for air at the bottom of a well.
Did I?
Yes.
Like, really? Just...
like, that's
I did not mean to.
All I'm hearing. Like, man, Dan must be really enjoying the egg rolls.
I had a big gulp of it.
There you go.
I apologize. A bit off more than I could chew.
Yes, you did.
Of egg roll.
Bull testicles. Anyway. jump into the news. So, the Pope, most famous for...
well, it's being singles.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
What?
Kotaku is... down or something because none of these stories are loading up now.
Well, let's talk about what we know then.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, really the headline will take care of itself. The Pope wants you to be yourself online. He had some type of conference. I don't know what it was called because I can't get to the story, but in it he talked about how in a society that's becoming more and more centered towards this online communities and socializing online, he says that we shouldn't hide who we are online. And
I have the quotes here if you want.
Do you? Read them,
yeah.
Quotes.
It is important always to remember that virtual contact cannot and must not take the place of direct human contact with people at every level of our lives. In the search for sharing, for friends, there is the challenge to be authentic and faithful and not give in to the illusion of constructing an artificial public profile for oneself.
Send me the quotes and I can read them in a German accent so it will sound like the Pope saying it.
A German accent? A British man in a German accent. Okay.
Well...
okay, yeah. All right.
Send me the quotes.
I'm sending you.
In the search for sharing, for friends, there is a challenge to be authentic and faithful, and not give in to the illusion of constructing an artificial public profile for oneself.
Well, don't you have to read it in a German accent and Roman? Or Latin or
no, that would just be stupid. It is important always to remember that virtual contact cannot and must not take the place of direct human contact with people at every level of our lives.
You sound like the guy from
That's what the Pope sounds
bastard.
Like.
Is it what the Pope sounds like? I guess.
Yeah. The guy from Inglourious Bastards.
He does. The interrogator
the
guy or whatever. Yeah. Anyway. So Monday Night Combat came out on Steam last week-ish?
Yes.
And they decided to have... some good item swappinage with Team Fortress 2. So some content from Team Fortress 2 was in Monday Night Combat, and I believe you could get some hats and stuff in Team Fortress 2.
Right. So basically what happens...
hats.
Yeah,
all synergy!
You'll get some hats for TF2, you'll get some hats and weapons for Monday Night Combat, and also they added... one thing from Penny Arcade into Monday Night Combat, which is Fruit Fucker.
How is he in there?
Well, Fruit Fucker, well, first off, because Penny Arcade are huge, huge fans of Monday Night Combat. Okay. And so Fruit Fucker's in there. He'll pop up when Bullseye, the mascot, pops up. You know, the guy who pops up in the middle of the match, and if you shoot him, you get money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He does basically the same thing, only it's juice. Which juice you use when you get full enough juice, you'll actually go into Uber mode, I guess you could say. So yeah, it's going to be good.
Nice. This is really annoying with Kotaku.
What's the story?
Well, from what I can remember, there have been talks of because of recent updates and the announcement of the NGP, there have been talks of Sony implementing a cloud-based saving service, kind of like Steam has.
Well, it's official. I think in the 3.6 update, it's coming.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was.
Yeah, I saw
it. Well, yep. There we go. It's no longer in talks. It is happening.
Yeah.
Heard it
I think it's.
First.
I think it's just for PlayStation Plus, though.
Is it?
I think. I don't know if that was true or not.
Here's what it says. They're working on it right now. It's going to be in 3.6. It's for every PS3, even if you're on Fat or Slim or whatever. Right now, it's not sure if it's going to be public or if it's going to be for PlayStation Plus subscribers.
Okay, so it hasn't been officially announced whether or not.
Right. Everyone's sort of speculating it's going to be for PlayStation Plus subscribers, but for now.
Well, yeah, it'll probably be to start out. I bet. But that's really cool because, it brings you back to the whole, like, the big thing about. One of the big things about the PS3 and the 360 when they came out was you couldn't save your games to a memory card. You know, I can't bring my game over to my buddy's house and play it, you know. And, 5 years later, but now you can.
Yeah.
We already touched on this a little bit, but Sony has started rolling out some updates to combat the jailbreaks and especially the cheaters in Modern Warfare 2 that have taken advantage of the jailbreak. Mm-hmm. Some of the security updates are starting to ban them from the online goodness.
3.55 was supposed to stop the hackers, and now they're putting out 3.6 that is supposed to stop the hackers.
It's going to be impossible now.
Right.
Yeah, if I just hire
mercenaries to hunt down all the worst offenders, then, you know, that's problem solved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Morally reprehensible, but, it's a sound plan. It's watertight.
Sony doesn't have a soul anyway, so they don't.
Yeah.
Sony doesn't have a soul anyways.
But, yeah, now that the door's open, they found a way around this update. It's just like the PSP. They'll find a way around it, and they'll be able to jailbreak it. I think they even recently jailbroke the PSP Go, which was supposed to be...
unjailbreakable.
Yeah, because of its design, was supposed to be unjailbreakable, so that didn't happen. Quotes on the... Phil's and me talking?
Oh, yep.
Okay.
To MTV Player, Reggie talked about, the 3DS lineup. Looking here, at the event, two games that were missing from the launch window were Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D and Kid Icarus Uprising. When speaking with Reggie, Reggie said, quote, "Between Nintendogs and Cats and Pilot Wings, those two franchises, either on the original DS or on other legacy systems like the NES and Super NES, have sold tens of millions of copies. Those two franchises have a lot of strength all by themselves. Steel Diver is a brand new experience, and from a compelling standpoint, we think it's awfully compelling." My scroll bar's freaking out. And then he said, quote, "Mario, Zelda, and all of those titles are coming. From our perspective, we like to launch titles when they're ready. And so they'll be ready soon, just not in that initial time period of late March to early June." He went on to say that those games will launch, quote, after E3.
Yeah. Which...
So more news at E3.
What? Dan's not happy.
I'm not happy?
I don't know. Who did the big sigh?
Oh, that was me, yeah.
Alex isn't happy. Alex is just doing a big sigh.
Well, I do big sighs all the time. It's part of the general misanthropy that I carry around. But, I think they're kind of... the 3DS lineup's looking good, but having all the kind of big franchises post E3 without much of a word on them is, it's good that they're coming and that they're coming soon. It's just, it would be nice for them to be kind of within the immediate launch window of the system.
I think it needed to be in within the immediately launch of the system because let's like what did Nintendo DS launch with? Super Mario 64.
Oh.
Yeah.
What did GBA launch with? Super Mario Advance. You know? I mean, what did Game Boy launch with? Tetris. They all launched with something that, you know, was, you know, if at least Nintendo first party, it's something that was, you know, wantable. You know, you did want to play these games. I mean, Pilot Wings, I'm not saying Pilot Wings is going to be a bad game. I think it's going to be great. But I don't think it's going to carry the same weight that Zelda at launch would. I don't think it would.
No, but, I mean, they, at the same time, they understand as a business that, you know, the 3DS is going to come out. Everybody's going to buy it. Not everybody's going to buy it, but they're going to sell a ton. And the games are going to come out. And then Zelda and Kid Icarus are going to come out, and they're going to sell even more 3DSs and all these games, and they're just going to make bank the whole year.
But do you think that they're – are you basing that on, like, people, like, hardcore gamers, just early adopters, or are you basing that on, like, you know, people who have been indoctrinated through, like, Brain Age and Wii Fit?
Yeah, I mean, people –
because I don't think –
No Nintendo. Like, it's a household name now. Like, everybody, you know, half the people that don't play games, if you, you know, don't play games regularly, you say, oh, yeah, video games, they'll be like, oh, yeah, my grandson has a Nintendo Wii. You know.
But like, $250, like Microtroid said, that's a lot to choke down, you know?
True.
I mean, it's, and not to mention that, you know, it's a lot of people buying DSs. They're not buying for themselves, really. They're buying for the kids. And, you know, they got DS, and then DS Lite, and then DSi, and then DSi XL. And now we have a $250 new system coming out. I don't think parents are going to buy it. I don't think families are really going to, you know, adopt into it as early as Nintendo thinks they are.
They will. You think that they're not going to, but they will.
Well, see, I think the advantage they have...
You think people aren't idiots, but they are.
Yeah, that's literally it, too.
The other advantage they have is the big three aren't putting out new consoles this year. I mean, right now would be the time. Well, we would be talking about the next gen if it was, like, in the last cycle. This is the year that it would start being talked about. Like, it's been 5 years into... So, I mean, now it's handhelds instead. So I think, you know, if they haven't – I mean, you're kind of implying that the people who've done that have bought every iteration of the DS, and I don't think that's true.
No,
I mean,
definitely.
Once you have a DS, you have a DS.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want a DSi, you know, you've got money to spend if you are upgrading.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, I know families that have been those kind of adopters.
Yeah, well, they must have money.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really.
I mean, that's what it's going to be. Off the bat, it's going to be the early adopters, people with money, and then just people who don't know any better that are going to end up buying this. And they're going to sell fairly well, just like the Kinect has, just like the Move has. I mean, you said it yourself. I mean, the Kinect has kind of lost a lot of steam since its launch.
Yeah.
I think the 3DS is going to sell well because of, you know, people will go, oh my god, it's 3D, it's the future. Because people are just awful like that. And they think 3D is an inherently good thing, whereas it's not.
Well, and also, you know, that battery life would...
It's lower than the PSPs, isn't it? The PSP is like, the NGP, they said it was like 6 hours, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I found that hilarious that the DS, 3DS is lower than that. Yeah. I mean, I never play on the go that much anyways, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you're like on the go playing for 12 hours out of the day, I mean.
That's. Yeah, that's people crossing the Atlantic.
Yeah.
And no one else, really.
Well, here's the thing.
But that's like, only in one stint without charging.
Yeah.
Here's what I love.
To charge every 3 to 5 hours is slightly more difficult.
Mm.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I love the fact that I can, you know, hand off my DS to my little sister, have her play for like 2 days. I'll get it back. I'll play Pokemon for like 3 days. Never have to charge it for maybe a week, you know? I mean, and 3 days, you're like, yeah, okay, I just have to plug it into the wall. But it's like, those batteries only get a certain amount of charges. Not only that, but it's 3 to 5 hours. Even if you have the 3D turned off, that max you're going to get is 5. And, you know, a comparison to previous handhelds that we've had, like, looking back, just because, you know, starting to play Pokemon Blue over again, 2 AA's on a Game Boy Color got you 15 to 20 hours.
Okay,
you know?
But Pokemon Blue isn't The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time on a 3DS.
Well, I'm also...
It's just
I'm also
battery
wondering
technology.
Why they consider battery life more. I don't
technology hasn't really grown with the technology.
Yeah.
It seems.
Technology has grown leaps and bounds, and battery technology just it can't keep up is the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like that's why your iPhone will only last a day. You know,
well the weird thing, like,
you have to charge it.
My PSP will lose its charge just sitting around. I hate that.
Yeah.
Like that. If I leave it sit for a week, I can't turn it on. And then the thing the PSP does is when it runs out of battery that way, it resets the entire system.
Yeah,
that's like not, I have to reset the time and everything like that.
Well, it's not too hard. I mean, because it saves all your Wi-Fi stuff. So really, all you have to do is just man. But yeah, it is. It is annoying. Mine is probably dead staring at it right now, so. But speaking of the PSP.
Yes.
We have the, what was it? Thursday, Friday?
It was Thursday night.
Thursday night. Sony.
Thursday at 1 a.m.
Yeah, no, I was up.
Well, here, but,
It was like 5 o'clock in Japan.
Yeah, whatever. Sony had their press conference revealing the next generation portable, or so it is codenamed so far.
Or no games portable. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, snap.
Oh.
But it's got
that's clever.
Games,
I went there. Yeah, I don't know if it's got games or not. I just want to embrace
just by Sony's history, yeah. That's appropriate.
So
you gotta pop that one for later use.
The next gen portable. That's... I hope they change that.
They gotta rename it the PSP 2. I mean,
Well, I think by naming it the next generation portable, they're avoiding like Revolution Wii.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you name it something horrible, you can only go up from there. But
yeah.
So it's for the most part, it looks like a bulkier version of the PSP. It's got 2 analog sticks, which is like
the system seller.
Yeah, the one thing that anybody who's ever had a PSP has just been screaming that this device needs.
And they're not like the PSP nubs, they're actual analog sticks that tilt in a direction when you push them.
So,
and that's the key right there. Like even the one analog stick on the PSP is a sorry excuse for an analog stick.
Yeah, the little slider disc thing.
Yeah.
It's got a touch, the screen itself is touch capable, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then on the back of it, it has a touch sensor.
It's like a trackpad, like a laptop trackpad.
Yeah.
And it's something you don't even imagine you would ever need.
You don't, but really, like, when you hold the PSP, like, you know,
Your middle
fingers are right there. So, I mean, it's not all that hard to visualize doing something with them.
Yeah. And it looks like it's being used in some cool ways, like that one game, The Little Deviants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where you kind of poke into the back of the screen and you roll these balls around with these mountains you create out of your fingers. And I mean, it could be used for some really cool mechanics. Like they said in Uncharted, to climb, like one way of climbing up a vine is to like rub your hands along the back of the thing, like you're grabbing a vine, which is really weird. It's very gimmicky, but
I mean, yeah, that's the thing is like, It's like when the six axis came out and how everything had to use the six axis no matter what the heck it was.
Yeah. Well, this thing has a six axis like control too.
It does.
And then it has or it will have 3G capability. So,
yeah. I really wonder what the plans are going to be like for that. Yeah. Like, if it's going to be... I mean, they've said there's going to be two SKUs at least, from what I hear. I don't know how the 3G is going to work. They haven't said anything on that.
It'll be a little odd, but yeah. And then they have so far for lineups, they have Uncharted, Metal Gear Solid.
Resistance looked really good.
They have
Killzone,
Wipeout.
Killzone, Wipeout.
Little Big Planet.
Yeah, I want to know if that was actually Little Big Planet. Like, if it was running on the PSP 2, I'm not going to call it the NGP. I just can't. or if it was, like, video from the PS3 version, because it looked like it was Little Big Planet 2.
Well,
maybe it was just a tease, like, it's coming kind of thing.
I mean, they've... Because what they were saying, or I saw somewhere, was like, because the Metal Gear Solid that's going to be on it is going to be a port of Metal Gear Solid 4, and because of the new cloud-based saving, you can play it on your PS3 and transfer your save over to the PSP2.
Yeah, Hideo Kojima said he had plans for stuff like that, being able to take your game from your console to your handheld. That's awesome.
That, yeah.
Now I'm hoping how many years after MGS4 came out they finally add trophies when that comes around.
That's not gonna happen. You can go ahead and just keep pushing for that.
Yeah.
But
oh well.
So
but yeah, it's coming out this winter. No price yet.
This winter, no price, probably a ton more will come out at E3 and TGS and all them goodies. So, but you know, being announced, this is really going to be the same thing that happened, you know, when the PSP and the DS came out originally. It's like, you know, now which one's going to sell more? Which one's going to do better?
Oh, I think it's by this point, it's a given that Nintendo's going to sell better.
True.
But I think I'm going to enjoy the NGP at launch a lot more than I enjoyed the PSP. Like, the PSP was the first system I bought on launch day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exciting. I mean, it had some games, but the PSP didn't come into its own until, like, last year and the year before. And I'm hoping they can remedy that with NGP, because I mean, the PSP right now is all, I honestly play my PSP more than my 360.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I play PC, PS3, PSP right now. And it's like, it has so much potential with those dual analog sticks and just the way everything looks. Like, the demo reel, those games look incredible.
Well, I mean, if they can keep the steam going that, you know, they have with the PSP right now and how it's doing fairly well, I think that they could...
All they need to do is release a Monster Hunter game at launch. That'll guarantee them tons of money.
That'll guarantee them that Caleb buys it, anyway.
Well, who develops Japan. Monster Hunter? Capcom, right? Yeah. Well, Capcom's developing for it.
Yeah, they've got a huge list of third-party supporters. Level 5 is doing something. That's what excites me.
Level 5, Codemasters, Capcom, D3. From North America, PopCap.
PopCap
Epic.
Was on that list?
Yep.
I think CyberConnect is on there, too.
CyberConnect, yes. CyberConnect 2 is on there. Ubisoft, Warner Brothers, 2K Games, and 2K Sports. High Voltage. So, I mean, there's a lot of people lined up for this.
And the one name that wasn't on the list was EA.
Yeah, EA's not on here.
There was that whole story about how they were contacting Sony to figure out what was up, or, you know, is EA actually developing for the NGP?
Right.
Pretty sure they are. I mean, it's got to be.
Oh, yeah, they will be. They will be. But, I mean, the NGP, between the 3DS and the NGP, not that I have money to buy either of them.
Right.
But if I did have the money, I would choose the NGP over the 3DS because I just like the sound of it better, and from a kind of a technical perspective and a software perspective as well. The idea of Uncharted, Killzone, and Metal Gear Solid excites me more than another bloody Ocarina of Time port.
Yeah. Well, also, I was thinking about this week, like, wow, you know, NGP really knocked it out of the park, because we weren't, I mean, we were sort of expecting, like, some PSP2 news, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think we were expecting this.
There are aspects of it I wasn't expecting. The fact that it looks as good as it does, and the two analog sticks, not just two analog nubs, that, I mean, knocks it out of the park for me.
Yeah. I mean, just knowing how Sony's handled the launch of their consoles recently, I was fully expecting just some, like, child in a suit to come out drooling.
I'm still wondering what they were thinking with that that ad, that, like, concept ad that has absolutely no game in it at all. It's just those people... I mean, come on. You've got a good thing going with your advertising. Don't mess that up.
Something I was thinking about, too. Like, Am I good?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad now. Okay, so... You're just being a dick.
Yes, I am.
So, something I thought about this week, too, was, like, will you stop? Like, what the hell's your problem?
Oh, we have fun here.
No, you just be a dick, and nobody's laughing. Well, what I was thinking was, you know, we thought about this before, too. DS versus PSP. We all thought PSP was going to take it, you know?
Yeah.
We all thought PSP was going to scream, and now it's that situation again. And we still don't know price. We still don't know launch date. You know, we don't know anything about it, really.
I'm gonna guess the price. If they're gonna do two SKUs, I'm gonna guess like $250 and $300.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think they'd kill themselves if they went any higher than that.
Which is why I'm saying $300 and $350.
I'd better be. If anything, well,
think about it. Think about how much that system is packing, and if it's able to come close to PS3 graphics.
Let's see.
Well, it's also, what, 5 years after?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, if a 3D screen is what bumps a $200 handheld to $250, you know? Yeah. Then you think about a multi-touch trackpad on the back, a touchscreen on the front, the graphics it's pulling off, the battery life of 6 hours, you know, the two analog sticks, all this stuff going into it. There were people talking a grand for some reason, and
was because GameStop put a placeholder pre-order price on it, just like they did with the 3DS.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, no, it's actually listed. It was actually listed on GameStop as $1,000.
Okay.
Yeah. So what were you going to say earlier, Alex?
I've forgotten.
You can think
probably,
here.
It's probably just going to be something racist, so just leave it.
There you go.
Did you hear Caleb hates black people?
I just drew one.
What?
Actually, he's a stick
just,
for
drew one?
Just go ahead and not talk anymore.
He's actually a stick person in a white shirt and jeans, but...
and then you colored their face in black and you gave them
a stick person is large lips
and depicted them holding a slice of watermelon and some fried chicken chasing blonde white girls through the streets.
Oh.
Is that it? Is that what you've done? You massive racist. That is
absolutely
awful.
Not.
Well,
that is though. That is exactly what you said. That is a quote from you, Caleb Crawford. You said, well, I am Caleb Crawford, and I think the worst of ethnic minorities.
Well,
that is fact.
Also, he didn't think Martin Luther King Day was a real holiday.
I think it's an excuse to take a day off. I mean, I don't... Not nothing, I don't think you should have the day off for it, is what I... What I'm,
anyway...
Yeah, he only, you know, fought for the equal rights of an entire
I didn't get the day
of the
off
population.
For that day. I needed the day off, and I didn't get one, so I'm bitter.
And so he hates black people because of it.
Yes, by association.
Okay, but Caleb, are you, do you like have a headset on right now?
I do.
How were you able to fit it over your KKK hood? Just wondering, because that seems like it doesn't seem practical to me.
He lives in Texas too.
I moved. Oh,
the rabbit hole goes deeper. Oh my god.
Are we done?
I saw you at PAX. You know, you were making nooses. You're.
I had a backpack full of them, actually.
Oh, anyway.
Well.
I think we're done, aren't we?
I think so. News?
You know, I've been reading Gene Wilder's memoir, Kiss Me Like a Stranger, and it is really, really good. And I am recommending everyone to read that book.
The name of the book is Kiss Me Like a Stranger, right?
Right.
And I thought initially you were just asking us all to kiss you like a stranger.
Just kiss me like a stranger, baby. No, it's really good. It's Gene Wilder. It's funny. It's good. I don't know.
Okay. Dicks.
I've been reading,
good for you.
Well, not reading, listening to Metropolis, which is a really good book.
You're liking those audiobooks.
They are. They're good. I mean, when I drive to work every day, I just pop that on and listen. It's really good for, like, you know, mundane activities like that, because, you know, you can listen to your book while you're, you know, driving or running or whatever.
Yeah, I should do something like that. I just listen to music. I walk to work every day, pretty much.
And it's,
I need to read more books, so I might as well do the lazy thing.
I'm starting to read more as well. I'm currently going through At Swim Two Birds by Flann O'Brien, which is a book about a guy who writes a book about a guy who writes a book about these creatures who then write a book about themselves, writing a book about themselves, putting the author on trial for the crimes he makes them do.
So it's Alan Wake.
What? No, that's a few levels deeper than Alan Wake.
It's deeper than Alan
this
Wake.
This is a real book?
This is a real book.
Wow. That sounds like an awesome concept.
It is.
In a very trippy way.
Awesome concept.
In a very trippy, trippy way.
Right. Hold a mirror. It's a very mirror.
Right.
What was it called again?
At Swim Two Birds.
Okay.
By Flann O'Brien.
O'Brien?
O'Brien.
It's E.
What?
This is just fascinating.
Yeah, it's Flann O'Brien.
You know, you could probably type it into the Skype box.
I mean, yeah, no, it's...
No, we don't do that around here.
Because then Eric loudly announces it to the group. Oh. What the fuck do you want? Oh, be right back? Whatever.
He didn't do that today.
I didn't. I know, I was very proud of him. Whatever. Even though Dan, Alex, and myself all left, just for anybody who needs to know.
Mm.
I have that effect on people.
Well, you
do.
True.
You know, you're kind of racist, so.
We needed to get away from the racist.
We just needed a break from you.
You see what you started, Alex.
What did you start? You didn't do nothing.
Caleb, if you're going to read books, one book I'd recommend you read is Uncle Tom's Cabin, because that will change your perceptions forever. I think it's really
Okay, we should try to start now.
I'm concerned for you, and I just want the best for you. So.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you for listening to Broken Embargo this week. You can find more episodes at unnamedgaming.podomatic.com. You can visit Eric on the in real life, I guess. You can visit him in real life in Wisconsin.
There you go.
There's a visit tree outside the bedroom window that there's a queue for it, though.
Yeah.
Caleb, what's your Tumblr address?
My what?
Tumblr?
Tumblr is Togi Bagushki at nerdfreak.tumblr.com.
Right, so nerdfreak.tumblr.com. And then Alex is over at the Start Select Play podcast. Or Start Select Talk, sorry.
Talk, you Start heathen.
Oh, fuck you.
You know what? Why don't I do the plug? I know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm not going to leave it to some amateur. Start Select.
He comes in two podcast episodes. He's already better than Dan.
It's true.
Excuse me, mister. I'm gonna get all huffy puffy because I didn't know Saturday was the default, even though you said it 2 months ago. No.
I love how we always end things on good notes.
Yep,
we're all.
You can visit Alex at Start Select Talk podcast, or his Tumblr is alexanderdjones.tumblr.com, and you can visit me on the web at danplaysgames.wordpress.com. And that's about it for this week.
Yeah, we should probably end.
We should all read Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yes, that is an enlightening piece of literature.
A Broken Embargo book club. It'll be fun.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, bye.